Hello, I'm Mike King, and you're listening to an extended clip from episode 23 of the Freight Buyers Club, released in August 2024. We're exploring what shippers should prepare for when the Container Shipping Alliance system undergoes a series of seismic shifts at the start of 2025. What's happening, who will win, who will lose, and where is your cargo best served? I'm speaking to renowned container shipping and supply chain analyst Lars Jensen, the CEO of Vespucci Maritime. Big thanks to Demerco Express Group for supporting independent journalism. Okay, there's another big change in global shipping coming in the next sort of 6 months or so. At the start of next year, Hapag-Lloyd and Maersk form the Gemini Cooperation. What do you make of that strategy? That the Gemini partners have promised massive improvements in reliability. Is this remotely possible given the current state of the market and the many symptoms such as port congestion that could impede their efforts?
That's really two questions. Is it possible, and is it possible under the current conditions? So let's just take five steps back. And when they first announced Gemini and say we're going to come up with these networks, it's clearly under the assumption that the market is normal and we don't have the Red Sea crisis. The reliability they promised, they're promising 90% reliability, sounds like a fever dream when you compare to the last 4 years. But let's not be jaded by the last 4 years. If you go back to the period before the pandemic, now clearly Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd were not collaborating together, but you had cases where 2M, so that would be Maersk and MSC, were operating Asia North Europe services between 85 and 95% reliability. You had a stretch of, I think it was 4 or 5 months, where they had Asia Med services at more than 95%. That doesn't mean they had that level everywhere, but it goes to show that it is possible. We have seen it in the past, performance levels up around that level. So I wouldn't say it would be out of the realm of the possible for them to actually operate at that level of reliability under normal market circumstances. Coming into 2025, the question is then, will the market be normal? And the answer seems to increasingly be no. It's hard to see a short-term resolution to the Red Sea crisis. If we still have to go around Africa, reliability is actually going to be the least of the Gemini cooperation's problems. The more acute problem is going to be this very nice network that they have designed and presented. Well, that assumes they can go through Suez. If they can't, they need a lot more ships, and they don't have enough ships to do that, so they would have to modify that network.
So the big announcement, all that fanfare around, well, these are all the things that we're going to offer, this is how the network looks, it's all a pipe dream unless there's peace in the Middle East. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Now you're kind of implying that it was a pipe dream when it was launched. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that premise. That under the circumstances it was launched, I tend to believe that it makes operational sense. The problem is the long-lasting nature of the crisis in the Red Sea.
Are you expecting any more changes in the alliance setup in the coming months? MSC is obviously looking like it's going to go it alone. The alliance looks a little short of ships on some trades, for example, although, as we've discussed, so does everybody else, but they particularly look a little bit light. What else happens?
No, I mean, I think the really interesting one to watch also from a commercial perspective is going to be Ocean Alliance. Ocean Alliance is the only group of carriers that are not forced to come up with an entirely new network once we get into 2025. Even if the Red Sea crisis continues, the Ocean Alliance carriers don't have to change their network. And no matter how good you are operationally as a carrier, when you change your entire network and phase in and out, there will be inevitable hiccups, no matter how good you are. Which means February, March, April next year, Ocean Alliance is the only ones that can go out into the market and say, you want predictability? Use our network. We're not going to change anything. You say, at least that's a short-term commercial opportunity for the Ocean Alliance carriers.
Listen to that, shippers. They've had some advice from Lars Jensen. Lars, if we look back in a few years at the events we've just been discussing that have happened like the last 6, 7, 8 months, who do you think we will be going, do you know what? They were the big winners of that period in time. They came up smelling of roses. And who on the flip side do you think we'll be saying, God, they really lost out during all of that? They couldn't see what was happening, didn't see where the opportunities were. They came up smelling of something far worse than roses.
No, there's a lot of different players out there. I mean, it's becoming clear already now, and that's not just because of the crisis now, but MSC is definitely coming out as one of the large winners of the growth and consolidation game, not just over the last few years, but over the last many, many years. They're really in a league of their own, which is also why they can now go down a path of not even needing an alliance going forward and still have scale. I would think we're also going to look at especially some of these Asian niche carriers that are right now benefiting from being able to run services from Asia into the Red Sea as solidifying their grip on parts of the intra-Asian market. Again, let's put the Red Sea crisis aside, but especially the Indian Ocean Rim and Southeast Asia was poised to be the powerhouse, the growth engine of global trade for years to come, partly as a result of China Plus One strategies. This will help boost them in that market. The great battleground is going to be the intra-Asian market. And, well, the carriers that can run ships without being shot at right now are solidifying that grip down in the market there.